Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
In a four-week series on Ecclesiastes, and this verse we visited on the very first Sunday. We ended the very first Sunday with this verse, and it's kind of a foundation for a journey into the middle part of the book of Ecclesiastes as we talk about reaching your potential. Now, this afternoon, Sandy and I are headed off to the airport, and we're going out of the country for a week and a half with Sons of God World Missions. But next week, I'm really excited that the brand new executive director for U.S. Missions for the Assemblies of God will be our guest speaker, Malcolm Burley. He's one of our favorite chapel speakers next door at the national office, and you will love hearing from Malcolm and what God's doing in our country. And thank you for your prayers as Sandy and I are overseas for a few days, and then we'll look forward to be back with you on October 1st. We'll finish this Ecclesiastes series. So would you stand with me, Ecclesiastes 3, and you'll see this verse on the screen as well as in your notes, and I'd like you to read it out loud with me. And we'll read it all out of the version that's on the screen, and it will get us going this morning as we talk about reaching your potential. Everyone out loud together, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I'm going to read that one more time in a minute, but two really important propositions that underlie everything we're going to be talking about today as we talk about going to the next level in our own lives. It's that, number one, God's always doing something. He's making something beautiful. His hand can be dynamically at work in our lives. But number two, none of us, even though he's put eternity in our hearts, we know we're living for something eternal. We don't see the whole picture yet. So it's against that backdrop that he's always doing something, but we don't see the whole picture, that we're going to be looking at how every one of us goes from wherever we are right now to the next level towards our potential. So let's read it one more time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Amen. Do you agree with me that we welcome the heart-shaping work of the Holy Spirit through his word today? Amen. Lord, help us. You may be seated. I have a quarter in my hand, and I'm going to give you a physics lesson for a moment, and I hope the quarter's shiny enough you can see it from the back. This quarter, according to physics, has what we call potential energy. Because if I was to let it go, it would turn into motion, right? And hit the floor with a certain force, because the potential energy would be turned into kinetic energy. I like to think of our lives like that physics lesson. We all have specific potential that God wants to put into motion. As long as it's only potential, it's not doing anything, it's not affecting anything, it's just there. Now, the potential energy of this quarter, mathematically, would be its mass times the force of gravity, right? 32.2 feet per second squared. Mass times gravity is what we normally call weight. That would be, on Earth, what we say is the weight of this. Potential energy is the mass times the force of gravity, times the height above the platform. Okay, so its potential energy would be much less. It would be converted into much less kinetic energy if I dropped it from here. But if I dropped it from here, it's going much faster when it gets, and so the height depends on its potential energy as well, because the potential says it can turn into kinetic energy. And that kinetic energy, when it hits the platform, is actually one half the mass times the velocity squared. Nerds of the earth, unite. Some of us love that stuff. But let me really do an injustice to physics. Potential energy, mass times gravity times height. When it comes to your potential energy, the mass is what God created you to be, who you are, you. Your DNA, your genetics, your capacity, right now at this time in your life, your age. All I want to say is whether you're 8 or 80, you can still go. You still have potential energy if it was released. I like to think of a mass is who you are. Gravity is the force of the Holy Spirit in your life, because we are animated by the power of the Holy Spirit as God's people. It's His Spirit that puts potential into motion in our life. We depend on His Spirit. This is not self-actualization. This is not a humanistic reach your potential. This is who you are together with the force of the Holy Spirit. The height represents the opportunities you're going to have. And this is somewhat out of your control. This is where the sovereignty of God comes in. Some of you, you know, the height's not going to be real high, but in your world, compared to others, but in your world, God wants to turn potential into motion to change the world around you. Others of you, it's going to be up here. Some of you, that height has been affected by things in life you've not understood. We just read in Ecclesiastes 3, God's put eternity in our hearts. He's given us a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose beyond ourselves. But we don't see the beginning from the end like God sees. There's a lot of things we don't get. All I know is that God has put you at a certain height. He doesn't require potential. He doesn't require kinetic energy out of you. He doesn't require potential out of you that is beyond the height that He has sovereignly given you. But what can we do to prepare ourselves at whatever height we're at to be put into motion for the kingdom of God? Who knew the formula? Did any of you know the formula for kinetic energy? Did you? Okay, here, this is yours. Right there. Oh, you're going to have to go. That was not quite enough kinetic energy. Okay. So, I'm going to break every rule in preaching, and it's a very simple outline, and it's 3 don'ts. I don't mean this to be negative. But if I told you all the do's to reach your potential, there'd be 300 points. We don't want that this morning. But there are 3 things that the writer of Ecclesiastes will deal with that I call potential chokers. They're the kinds of things that can keep your potential from getting into motion. And so we'll go to the next chapter. We've been in chapter 3, chapter 4. And the first thing the writer of Ecclesiastes will tell us about this is to not go it alone. Don't go it alone. If you're going to reach your potential, I know nobody who has reached their dreams or reached their potential alone. I know nobody who ever reaches their potential all alone. I like to think of God as having 2 hands. With one hand, He touches us directly, and with the other hand, He touches us through the people He puts around us. And so, verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 4, 2 are better than 1, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. That's why 2 is better than 1. But pity anybody who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if 2 lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm all alone? And so in a world before furnaces and all of these things, this was not necessarily sexual. This was just, here's how at cold nights we keep warm. We kind of sleep side by side. But if you're all alone and you have no blanket and there's no other human being, how do you stay warm? And though one may be overpowered, 2 can defend themselves. That's why we say, ladies, never walk at night alone. You know, always have a partner. Because 2 might be able to defend themselves. But one might be overpowered. So though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And three strands, a cord of three strands, is not quickly broken. In other words, don't go it alone. Now, where do we always hear this read? Right? This is a very famous passage of Scripture. Where do we hear this read? As weddings, right? Because two is better than one. And then when they say a three-fold cord is not easily broken, what does the pastor usually say the third cord is? It's God, it's Jesus. You know, that's a wonderful thought, and I agree with all of that, but it's probably not the context for what he's saying here. There's no mention of weddings here. He is saying two is better than one, because if you get in trouble, who's going to be there to help you? And if two is better than one, then three is better than two. That's what he's saying. A threefold cord is even better than a twofold cord. And yes, it's wonderful if that third cord is God and all of that sort of thing, but his point is, don't go it alone. Otherwise, there's things that are going to trip up your potential. You're going to fall down and not be able to get back up. And if you're on the way to all that God has for you, there's going to be a lot of things to ruin your potential, to stop your potential, a lot of things to cripple you. And if we're doing this alone, we're going to come far short of what could happen if people were beside us helping us up. Now, it was back in 2001, about 2.5 months after 9/11, I was pastoring a church in Vancouver, British Columbia. It was quite a large church. We had quite a number of pastoral staff. And we had an amazing, I love Pastor Christian right here sitting on the front row. We had an amazing youth pastor. His name was Mike Vole. And Mike was married, unlike our youth pastor. I'm just saying. Two are better than one, by the way, Pastor Christian. Although he's not really talking about marriage there. Love that guy. Pastor Mike was married to a beautiful young lady, 25 years. They're both about 25 years old. Her name was Sherry. Sherry was photogenic, attractive. She had an outgoing personality. She just exuded the joy of Jesus in her life. And she was just like, I mean, Mike and Sherry together, not only could you put them on a fashion magazine, I mean, they just were dynamic, young spiritual leaders. They were the youth pastors to my two daughters at that time in the church. And it was December 1st, 2011. And Mike and Sherry, on the weekend, went up across a mountain pass over to the Inland Valley, towards the Inland Valley in British Columbia, I think to pick up some furniture from some relatives or some friends for their apartment. And the weather was bad, and at the top of the Coquihalla Pass, Mike hit black ice, and just like that, his vehicle spun off the road in the mountains, rolled several times, came to a sudden stop by a fence post at the bottom of the ditch. Mike walked away with a few bruises, and Sherry was killed instantly. Whew. Well, the journey for Mike, really the next 2 to 3 years, was one of the most agonizing journeys you can imagine. The grief for Mike was absolutely bitter and absolutely crippling. And he's doing well today. But he wrote a book 3 years ago. In fact, I was privileged to write one of the endorsements for his book. And he called it Sideswiped. Not because his car was sideswiped, his car just hit black ice and rolled. But he was sideswiped by life. And this young man, 25 years old, so sharp, so full of the life and potential of Jesus, he experienced something that could have absolutely aborted his potential. In his book, he not only, it's a biting book, it's a raw book, it's a brutally honest book. We had given him a couple of months' leave of absence and tried to fill with other volunteer youth leaders, and then he slowly came back into ministry, then eventually resigned and moved to Edmonton, Alberta, where today he He's a very thriving pastor and about 40 years old now. But in one chapter in his book, he writes about his friends. I personally found it a fascinating chapter because I know a number of those friends personally. But he writes about the difference that his friends made in him. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, when you get sideswiped and you fall in a ditch and you're all alone and there's nobody to help lift you out, then what are you going to do? And if it wasn't for the Lord, and very biblically, if it wasn't for friends in his life, I don't know that Mike would have made it through that season without ending up the rest of his life a very bitter, emotionally crippled young man. But there's a chapter on his friends, and he's got a list, and so I thought, I'm just going to read you a list. I'll put it on the screen as well. He said, this is what my friends did for me. They listened. They told stories about Sherry and didn't avoid her in conversation. They asked about how I was adjusting to life without Sherry. They gave me permission and freedom to talk about her frequently. They gave me permission to say nothing about her at all. And they gave me permission to say nothing, period. They cried with me. They laughed with me. They created diversions from reality for me. They challenged my thinking and viewpoints when I was trapped in negativity. They spoke truth into my situation. They let me heal on my own time. They provided for my needs. They took action, but only when necessary. They stepped in. This was quite a story. They stepped in when I needed professional help. They prayed for me. They invited me into their homes and into their family life. They avoided trite sayings. They made sure I was taken care of on special birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. They painted a picture of what the future might be like. That's a powerful thing. And basically, they did everything they could to go the extra mile for me. I think I say on behalf of every person in this room, oh, for friends like that. This is Ecclesiastes 4 lived out in the 21st century. If one falls into a pit, pity them when they can't get themselves out. But if two are there, and three is even better, there's others to lift them out. I just want to say, you'll never reach your potential alone. And you're going to get sideswiped in life. And by God's grace, I believe we do the homework while we can to make sure there's people in our lives that know how to pray for us specifically, that know us well, and that we can trust. And you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen. Sometimes you have to be a friend. I know a lot of people say, well, people just don't invite me back, and people don't invite me out, people don't do this. And it takes a friend to be a friend, right? You need to be a friend. I mean, you just do. The Word of God says that we're not to go this alone, because two is better than one. You're going to need people if you're going to reach your potential. So you do that. And then the writer of Ecclesiastes, he'll revisit this idea of our potential in chapter 5, the next chapter, where he basically tells us not only don't go it alone, but don't try to understand everything. If you try to get life, if you try to understand everything that happens in life, you're also going to abort your potential because you're going to get stuck somewhere. Because, you know, there's a myth we live by that if I do life right, life will be right back to me. Or if I was to give you a shorter version, life is fair. And I just want to say, life is not fair, even when you're walking with God. And if you insist that you understand everything up front, and that you won't go any farther until God explains himself. I don't know about you, but I have days where Jesus apparently has no felt need to explain himself to me. He just says, I'm just going to be God. I don't have to go around explaining myself to you all the time. I mean, who do you think you are, Bradford? Like I'm answerable to you? But the problem is, I've seen a lot of people. I mean, Pastor Mike, if it wasn't for his friends and the grace of God, Pastor Mike could have lived the rest of his life a bitter person, because there is no answer to why would my 25-year-old wife, who had just spent the night before on an all-nighter pastoring the middle school girls in our church, why, of all people, would God take her life in a moment? I mean, there's just no answer to that. So chapter 5, verse 1 says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Guard your steps. Go near to what? To talk? No. Go near to listen, rather than to offer the offering of fools who don't know what they do wrong. Do not, next verse, do not be quick with your mouth, and do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. Why? For God's in heaven and you're on earth, so let your words be few. That's God's polite way of saying, I see the big picture and you don't, so keep your mouth shut. I don't know, there's something I morbidly love about the last half of verse 2. I often think about this verse. God's in heaven and you're on earth, so don't shoot your mouth off. There's just a place of humility to say, remember we read it? God makes all things beautiful in his time, and he's put eternity in our hearts, but he has not shown us how the beginning to the end all connects. And there is a moment when appropriate humility allows us just to live with ambiguity and just to live with a God who doesn't always explain himself. And if you insist on figuring out all the injustices in life, you're going to be paralyzed. You'll never reach your potential. And he really digs into this in chapter 9, if you'll flip over there with me. Chapter 9 and verse 11 of Ecclesiastes, where he says, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, speaking of our death, no one knows when their hour will come. Sherry didn't know when she set on that trip that at 25 years old her hour would come. Nobody knows when their hour will come. You see, just because you do all the right things in life doesn't mean life's right back to you. There are forces. Remember I said your potential? I wonder if I have another quarter. Otherwise, I may need that one returned. Oh, I got one more. Look at that. I mean, it's in the hands of God, kind of your height. Remember? Remember he said your potential is who you are times the force of the Holy Spirit in your life, times the position, the opportunities, the open doors he gives you. And sometimes we think, you know, we're here, but there's reversals to life even though we do everything right, and we end up here for a while. And it seems like doors close. I didn't get that promotion I was sure I was going to get. I didn't get that job I thought I was going to get. You know, I'm 45 years old. I thought I'd be a lot farther in life right now than I am. And there are some things you just can't control that are responsible for that. You're simply in the hand of God who's putting it where it belongs. But I want to tell you, he gives us a very sobering reality. He said, the race, this isn't fair. I mean, normally the race belongs to the swift, right? The guy who wins is the fastest. And the battle belongs to the strongest. You know, the strongest win. But he's saying in life, it just doesn't work that way sometimes. You may be the swiftest, but you may still lose the race. You may be the strongest, but for other factors out of your control, you may still lose the battle. You may just find yourself flat out disappointed with answers that God doesn't seem to want to give you. And God has a lot of patience with our why questions. I think you have every right, you have every permission before God to be emotionally honest with God, to be in a reverent way, to be emotionally honest with him, and to ask him why. There's nothing wrong with that. I've just found the question God likes to answer more than the why question, like, why did this reverse happen? I thought I was the strongest, and that's not fair. Someone else won. But he said, I want to tell you, You know, and I love Jesus, but my house got flooded out just because I live in Houston. You know, time and chance happen to everybody. Even though we're in the hand of God, and there are times God supernaturally protects us and sovereignly intervenes, but we are in the hand of God. And He's put eternity in our hearts, but He hasn't always explained how the beginning to the end all connects for us and how high our potential, that height factor of our potential. I mean, sometimes it's not where we hope it to be and think it to be, and sometimes there's things out of our control that have worked against us, and we don't know what to do with God, we don't know what to do with life, and it sure seems unfair, and so I'm going to be bitter. I want to tell you, if you insist on figuring everything out, you're going to come short of your potential. You're fighting the wrong battle. You're playing in the wrong ball field. The better question than why, I think, is where. God, where can I find your hand? I didn't get the job. I'm shattered. I'm devastated. But Lord, where in the midst of this can I find your hand? Because one thing I know, you're always doing something and you're working beautiful even when I can't see the beginning from the end. He said, don't go cocky into the house of God. He's in heaven. You're only on earth. You can only see a little bit of it. So keep your mouth shut. Don't try to come up with all the answers. The race doesn't always belong to the swift and the battle to the strong. Time and chance happen to everybody. But listen, we're in God's hand, and He knows how to adjust the height in your life. In fact, it's at the lowest points where we feel like all my dreams are shattered. Everything I feel God has called me to is in jeopardy, you know, and you just feel like there's no hope and no future for you. You know, the Apostle Paul said, God does His best work when we're weak. Often God needs to break us down before He can build us up. Otherwise, you're just too much ego. There's too much of thinking and being self-impressed. I want to tell you, it's when that height gets pretty low and you're shattered and you have no answers, that's the place where you're liable to encounter the power and sovereign hand of God like never before. Because He does His best work when we're broken and when we're weak. Never underestimate your potential when the Holy Spirit is still around and in your life. And the better question than why did you let this happen? Why is life so unfair? The better question, rather than being paralyzed by those unanswered questions, is, Lord, where can I find your hand in the midst of this? Because all I know is that I'm in your hand. And I don't need to be great. I don't need to be famous. But I just want to reach your potential for my life. And maybe this morning, some of us are going to need to just let some things go. Just let some things go. And you're just going to have to swallow it. And you're going to be stuck with a God who doesn't explain Himself. But you've got Him. And He's still doing something. And He's got your potential in mind. And He's just going to free you today to keep going. And to dream again. I have people say, I don't think I'll ever risk loving again, Pastor. I got so hurt. I don't think I'll ever risk dreaming again. Because I got so shattered by that reversal. I want to tell you, who knows where God can still put that coin? Who knows how high He can still put your potential? Because He's always working. He makes all things beautiful in His time.